Hey, welcome into the Big Ten Huddle. I'm your host, JR. Boy, got a lot to talk about today in the Big Ten. Coming on a little late. I apologize, guys. I was watching a movie and time got away from me, and then I was like, I looked down and I was like, oh shoot, it's like 12:15, so I gotta get up here. So thanks everybody for being here. I see PSU Jim. Maybe JR is having too much champagne. No, not tonight. Not tonight. Pretty low key night. I was trying to let the other live shows do their thing because I know many of you listen to the other stuff and things like that, which. I get it. I'm a small show, me and Zach, and so you guys like to listen to your bigger shows and then maybe come over here and get some stuff too. So we just appreciate that you guys listen, and I figured we'd give you all your time to go listen to everybody else. Boy, James Franklin. Can we think about it for a second? James Franklin, 2-0 in the playoffs. If you would have told me we'd be going into 2025 and James Franklin is 2-0 in the playoffs. I don't know, like how, if you're a Penn State fan, how are you feeling about that, right? Because I said something about it, kind of joking a little bit, like where the haters at now on Twitter, and immediately was met with, well, it's not that big of a deal, and oh, they played terrible tonight. I don't think Penn State played terrible. I think that Penn State could have had some better play calling, maybe. Thanks, Jim. PSU Jim, thanks for being here. Let's go through other comments really fast, and then we'll get into the game. Oh my, there's a lot of comments. There's a lot. I didn't see all the comments here. Let's see. Let's start with Doug Shepherd. Where's JR? I'm right here. Like I said, sorry guys. I do have my Illini shirt on tonight. I see PSU Jim saying, I put this on for the occasion of the Citrus Bowl. I gotta tell you guys, that Citrus Bowl was one of the most fun experiences I've had watching a game. It was kind of chaotic because I was also with my kids. I was playing bingo with my daughter while I was watching that game, and it was a really, really funny experience. So, Nebraska Voice of College Football, Justin, I assume that's you. Says JR, Happy New Year, brother. Happy New Year, Justin. Glad it's 2025. Good to be here with y'all. PSU was sloppy. PSU Jim says PSU was sloppy and didn't have Carter most of the game. I'll take it. Yeah, let's talk about that here in just a second. John says, I'm still here. Appreciate you being here, John. I didn't get a chance to watch many bowl games today. Went to the bar and then the Pacers game. Oh, okay. Pacers game. Yeah, I forgot the Pacers play today. I like the Pacers. I just can't get into the NBA. I don't know. It feels like lackadaisical basketball. I've talked about that on the basketball shows before, but that's another time. Let's talk about this Penn State game first. Let's talk about the Penn State game, and then we'll kind of talk about the bowl games, right? I mean, there's a lot of SEC banter to have. I could talk about that Citrus Bowl for a long, long time. I mean, like I said, that was just a really, really fun bowl game to watch. I tried to text Zach earlier to see if he wanted to come on. He's in LA right now. I didn't know if maybe he could just come in for a second on his phone, but I got no response from him. So if he responds at some point, I might bring him on. But for the most part, let's talk about this Penn State game to start. All right, so Drew Aller goes 13-25 in this game, gets the big throw to begin the game. Well, actually, before that, they had the drive that went down the field, the throw to Tyler Warren that was in the back of the end zone, which was a really good play, really good catch by Tyler Warren. Which, by the way, Tyler Warren, like, dude is amazing. Deserved to win the tight end award. I know that Bowling Green guy had a good year, but like, Tyler Warren is just the man, right? This is one of the most underrated players in all of college football. I think Zach said he deserves Heisman talk at one point. I echo that sentiment. I mean, what he was able to do this season for Penn State. I know he didn't have like the biggest numbers in the world. I mean, he had good numbers for a tight end. He was like second in yards and touchdown passes or touchdown catches, I believe, for a tight end. But overall, I mean, you get that. Then you get the 38-yard pass from Drew Aller, which that was a deep ball. That was fun. And then Boise State answers back. The fullback, Crow, he gets into the end zone after a good drive there. And then Penn State gets the field goal. And then you really you get the scores in the third quarter, and then you really don't get much after that, right? It kind of went downhill from there for the offense of the entire game. I was really impressed by Penn State and their ability to get Ashton Jeanty to fumble the ball earlier in that game, because there were times when the Boise offense looked like, okay, we're moving the ball a little bit here, and then turnovers killed them, right? Jeanty fumbles on the one there on the sideline, which – who was that got the fumble on the sideline? Was it King? I think King caused the fumble. Kobe King caused the fumble. It was another one that got the recovery there on the sideline. But it was almost like an interception. He caught the ball and kind of dragged the toes a little bit. I came away from this game impressed with the players of Penn State from the standpoint of, obviously, you know, gave a lot of effort in this one. We're really pumped up for it. You know, maybe the secondary from Penn State struggled a little bit, definitely with Madsen, but it felt like they were letting Madsen make the mistake at some point. It felt like Tom Allen was just kind of like, okay, we're going to let him keep thinking they can throw it with Maddox Madsen, but at some point, Madsen's going to make a mistake. Madsen is not, it's kind of like Sam Levitt, right? We talked about him on the Arizona preview, where it's like, he's not a huge difference maker where he's going to win the game for you. If you try to do that with Sam Levitt, you know, you might eventually pay for it, and that's kind of what happened here with Maddox Madsen. He eventually paid for it because they tried to get Maddox Madsen to be the guy to win the game for him, because Ashton Jeanty wasn't doing anything, right? I shouldn't say wasn't doing anything. He was running the ball well. I think before he had his long run, which how long was that run? It was like 26 yards. That was as long in the day. Before that, he was at about 3 yards per carry, and then he ends up finishing the game with 3.5, 30 carries for 104 yards. But the story in this one was Catron Allen. 17 carries, 134 yards. Now, he didn't get a touchdown in the game, so that kind of stinks for him. But I the entire time I was watching this game, I was like, just give the ball to Catron Allen. Penn State kept trying to drop back and have these deep drops so that way they could throw the ball over the top, which made sense, right? Because Boise State was bringing their safeties into the box more so that way they could stop the run. Now, the difference was, even when they brought the safeties into the box, Catron Allen was running like a madman, and they weren't able to stop Catron Allen. So, like, everybody was kind of dogging Andy Kotelnicki for some of the game or the play calling, and I got it, but I was also like, you have to give it a chance. I was, and you guys know me, I like Drew Aller. I'm not trying to, you know, be against Drew Aller here, but it just felt like he held on to the ball too long, right? They got into some third and long situations where it really wasn't manageable for him, but obviously Penn State's the better team in this one, so they were able to convert some of those. Good for them on that. But it felt like there were times where maybe Drew Aller should have had an underneath route or something that he hit. And he did do that at times. So I'm not being critical of him, because he did do that at times. But at the end of the day, just an outstanding rushing performance by Penn State. And it's kind of what I talked about in the preview, right? Boise State can't tackle. And I think you guys saw that in this game. Boise State could not tackle Catron Allen. Now, he wasn't the most shifty in this game, but I don't think he needed to be, because Boise State doesn't wrap up. Boise State lowers their head, they put their shoulder into you, and they hope that you knock you down. That works against Mountain West teams. That works against Group of Five teams. That doesn't work against big, strong backs like Catron Allen and Nicholas Singleton, too, which, by the way, how electric was that 58-yard run by Nicholas Singleton? Good blocking on that play overall. It was good to see. PSU Jim says, you're absolutely right. Always bring a comment up on the screen if people say I'm right. Game plan was to slow down Jeanty and force Madsen to beat them, and they couldn't do it. Some lapses, but overall, it worked out. Yeah, and I think it helped that, you know, when they got to the point in the red zone, they stopped them and forced field goals. Most of the time, I think there was the 120-yard pass Madsen had. That was his only touchdown pass. But it wasn't even like a big pass. It was like a slant. Strotcher, I think, was the wide receiver's name. He just kind of broke some tackles and got his way into there. That was actually what I probably came away the most concerned about with Penn State. I know I was kind of saying some stuff there about Drew Aller there for a second, but I don't mean to dog Drew Aller. I think Drew Aller played well for the most part. Tackling was an issue against the wide receivers a few times for Boise State. I did not anticipate that. I thought Penn State would do a better job of tackling their perimeter players more. I was kind of more worried about Ashton Jeanty and stuff. DeLucas had a tough year tackling this year. He's kind of missed a good amount of tackles, but I really like DeLuca. I think he does some things well. But overall, yeah, that was interesting. But like I said, kept everything in front of you, and eventually Madsen threw that ball up, which was just a terrible pass. I mean, what in the world was he thinking? Number one, the cornerback had the leverage and was right in front of him. And then number two, the safety, it was such a lob. The safety came in and just took it and ran with it. PSU Jim says, PSU, Penn State should have never stopped running. They could have had over 300 yards rushing if they kept to it. Yeah, I agree. Now, like I said, I do think at a certain point when they're bringing this, when Boise State's bringing the safeties up like that, you do have to just drop back a couple times just to see. But they were doing it far too often. You're exactly right, PSU Jim. They were doing it far too often. They could have just stuck with running the ball, especially with Catron Allen. And you saw what happened with Nick Singleton. It felt like at some point Nicholas Singleton was going to break one, right? It felt like the blocking was going to be there at some point, and it just so happened that eventually when they kept running him, they were able to do so. The box score won't say it because Penn State only ran for 216 yards in the box score, but sack adjusted, they ran for 244, so almost 250 yards on the ground when you look at sack adjusted. That was really good. One fumble lost. I believe that was Drew Aller. What was it when he dropped the read? I think it was. That's just an unfortunate play. That almost happened to Ohio State against Tennessee, but they managed to save it. Yeah, I did not anticipate Boise State getting over 300 passing yards in this game. That was interesting to see. I think people are going to overinflate that going into this next game. Right, whether you play Georgia or whether you play Notre Dame, they're going to say, oh, well, if Maddox Madsen can, you know, throw for 300 yards, and so can Riley Leonard, and so can Gunnar Stockton. Well, I mean, okay, maybe, but, I mean, you saw what they were doing, right? I mean, everybody saw what Penn State was doing. You know, just kind of give them the stuff underneath, make sure you make the tackle, which they did sometimes, and other times they didn't do a great job of doing, and then let Maddox Madsen make the mistake, which he did, three interceptions in this game. He was almost like 80% completion percentage there for a while, but eventually Penn State was up by so much they had to press, and yeah, it was a problem. Thomas says, is Carter out for the year? Need him, no title without him. I have not heard if he's out for the year. He looked like he was okay on the sideline. He didn't have his helmet, so honestly I was on a podcast when he went out of the game, so I didn't get to see the play and really look at it a couple times when he went out of the game. So if somebody else in the chat wants to elaborate on that, feel free. But yeah, I mean, if Carter is out, I mean, they still got pressure against Boise State. Maybe not as much as you would like to see, but they still got pressure against Boise State, so I'm not too concerned in that area. But overall, like, if you don't have Abdul Carter, you're hurting a little bit, because you need that pass rushing threat. You need the threat of his pass rush, if nothing else, just to keep the offensive line second guessing. One other thing for them to think about. Denyden Sutton is very good on the other side, which we can get to him in a second. I'm curious what you all's thoughts are. Go ahead and put your thoughts in the chat about Denyden Sutton. I don't want to come down too hard on him because sometimes, you know, you just make a decision in the moment. But if you saw that hit he put on Ashton Jeanty when, you know, the play was dead, like, I don't know. Like, I try to not throw guys out of the game, but I posted on Twitter, like, if I'm being honest, like, that's a hit that should probably remove you from a game. I don't know, maybe I'm being too critical, you guys let me know, but that was a nasty thing to do, especially to the star player of the other team, dead ball and everything. Like, and it was clear he didn't think the play was still going on. I guess it was clear to me, maybe you guys think differently, but I don't know, I just didn't know what he was thinking there. If the emotion just overcame him, if he just got too aggressive, I don't know. I try not to judge guys just based off one thing, but Boy, do I hate to see stuff like that. Yeah, PSU Jim, it was a cheap shot, no doubt. I hate to see stuff like that because that's not what football's about. Hit the guy when the game's going on. And I mean, it's not like Ginty was destroying him. Like, I'd understand it if Ginty had like 200 yards, but yeah. Thomas, how bad is? I don't know how bad his injury is. We'll see if we get an update soon. I'll check 24/7 really fast and see if they have anything on him. But I don't imagine we'll get much on it. Just the way coaches normally are, they're not gonna say too much after a game. The most I ever heard was when after that Oregon game when Ryan Day said that Simmons wouldn't be back for the rest of the year. I was like, oh my gosh, you never really hear that kind of stuff. But yeah, so let's see. On 24/7 it says possession. He's being showed trainers working on his left shoulder under his pad. Did not return to the game. Watch the sidelines, not a helmet. When Boise State faced third and long, Penn State went to a long yardage pickup. Freshman Max Granville entered the game. Yeah, I mean, they don't 24/7 doesn't really have anything on him, so I don't know. I don't think you'd take it, like, take precaution and take him out of the game. I mean, it wasn't a close game. Boise State never came within a touchdown after it was 14-7, I believe. But, I mean, that was when they got closest in the game. But, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Don't think we have anything for you yet, Thomas. I apologize. But, yeah. What had something from David. The Big Ten, it just means more. We need our own phrase, right? We need our own Big Ten phrase. It's fun to meme the SEC phrase. I'm thinking something like we hate each other until it comes to the SEC or something like that, because that really is a thing with the Big Ten guys. Like, everybody hates each other so much, but we all kind of come together in times like this in the bowl season and when SEC bias is out of control and we're like, okay, we're gonna be together for a minute. And then it's like after that's over, it's like we're right back to hating each other. That's the difference with, like, honestly, to me, that's one of the biggest reasons why there are so many SEC podcasts out there, but you don't see a ton of Big Ten podcasts because so many Big Ten teams hate each other, which I'm not complaining about. I love it because I think that's one of the things that makes college football so amazing is the rivalry aspect to it. You don't get the rivalry aspect of college football in NFL or NBA. I mean, you get it a little bit in college basketball, right? Like Duke, North Carolina, but I mean, the rivalry seems so much bigger in college football. You play your rival once a year, and that's like your chance for the entire year to get bragging rights and stuff. Like, it's so much bigger. And when I heard there were Alabama fans rooting for Tennessee against Ohio State, I was like, give me a break. Like, this isn't a real rivalry, right? Like, this is not a real rivalry. If you hate the other team that much, you can't act like you're happy if they beat another team because they're in the Big Ten. Like, and I say that fully aware that part of me did enjoy Michigan beating Alabama and being able to troll Kirk Herbstreit and stuff like that. I texted one of my Michigan friends. I was like, this is probably the most happy I'll ever be to see Michigan win. But it was definitely happy in quotation marks because it's like, I'm satisfied that Alabama lost so we control Kirk Herbstreit, but boy, do I not want to hear the entire offseason. We beat Ohio State and Alabama to end the season, and, you know, it's all the fun of rivalry stuff. So, yeah, PSU Jim, friends don't let friends root for the SEC. Yeah, that Michigan-Alabama matchup was a classic. I am just an observer. I'm just an observer, you know, like, I will take the pleasure of whatever happens in this game. As an Ohio State fan, I'll take the pleasure of whatever happens in this game, but I'm not going to root for either side in this one. So I'm not going to be the guy. Did you guys remember seeing that guy with the long sleeve shirt that was like Ohio State fan that's an Alabama fan? He was like sitting back in the chair in the Rose Bowl last year. I don't know. I'll have to see if I can find that picture. Oh, boy. Guys, why don't we see if anybody wants to come in? Anybody want to come in and talk with me? I don't have a co-host right now, so let me post a link here in the chat if anybody wants to come in and talk to me. I know David's always up for call in. So David Greenshield, if you want to call in, or anybody else wants to call in. Yeah, David, there you go. Go ahead and call in, David. Let's talk through some of the Penn State stuff. We don't advertise call in shows, because I think sometimes you get people who don't really want to call in. They just kind of want to be weird. But if there's anybody that wants to call in and talk about the games and stuff like that, I think that'd be fun. So we'll talk about it all. We'll talk about Penn State. We can talk about Michigan beating Alabama, the Citrus Bowl, that Illinois game. Boy, I had so much fun. I had so much fun watching that game. So the Brett Bielema taunting of Shane Beamer, how upset Shane Beamer was the entire game. I mean, man, he was going crazy that entire game. Shane Beamer was having an awful, awful day. And I posted, he's like one of the whiniest coaches. I don't know if he just had a bad day or if he's always like that, but my word, like, dude, have some self-respect to a certain point. So PSU Jim says, Happy New Year. Gotta go. Have a great night. Thanks, PSU Jim. Happy New Year to you as well. You have a great night too. So we'll see you. We'll see you later. He also says, they are deep on the D-line, but nobody else is Carter's caliber. That is true. That is true. Deep on the D-line for sure. That's one area that you can't knock Penn State for. Penn State always seems to have a good D-line. They always seem to, have good guys there set up. So yeah. If there's anything else you guys want to talk about the Penn State game, put it in the chat. Let me know. David said he wants to call in, so I'm sure we'll get David here in a second. If anybody else wants to, feel free. I put the link there in the comments. It should work on the other side as well. Let me check just really fast just to make sure. But yeah, we are on the Voice of College Football Big Ten channel right now. So if you're over there and you don't see it in the chat, go on over to the Big Ten Huddle. I still don't have access to post in the chat directly from the... Yeah, it's right there, so you guys can get it. I still don't have access to post directly in the chat from the Voice of College Football. So still need to figure that out and how we can get that to happen. But yeah, so Kevin Chandler. Let's see what Kevin has to say. He says, we are. Things to clean up, definitely. Because should have been a blowout. Hopefully, a Carter and Denai Dennis Sutton are not out. I don't think. Did Sutton get hurt at the end of the game? I don't think so. And he didn't get ejected for the hit. So he should be fine. We'll see what happens with Carter. Like I said, we'll probably get some more clarity on Carter in the weeks to come. I'm sure there will be something there we'll get. But for the most part, yeah. Penn State needs a really good D-line. This is a big part of the team. So, and I agree, Kevin Chandler, like, it should have been a blowout. I still think, you know, three scores. I mean, this is what a lot of people said, right? Like, they're going to win. I mean, I guess a lot of people said three touchdowns, but two touchdowns and a field goal. Won by three scores in this one. Boise State tried to get a touchdown there late and try to make it a little bit more respectable, 31-21, but Penn State picked them off there at the end to keep that from happening. But overall, I mean, it got a little interesting, and it should have been closer with the field goals, which, by the way, that Boise State kicker, I kind of felt bad for him on that first field goal. Like, that was a rough miss. That was a rough miss, for sure. I think Abdul Carter will be ready to go. We're just being cautious right now, so shrug. Yeah, it's interesting to think about what the thought process was there, right? Were they being cautious? But at the same time, it wasn't exactly a blowout. I mean, you were up two scores pretty much the entire time, so you're feeling okay about it. But if they got within a score, maybe you put them back in and see. But I don't know. I think that was a situation where they just were like, you know what? Shouldn't go back in there. We don't want you to do anything to yourself. Just stay on out. So... Emperor Fabulous, nice name there, says wide receivers dropped two TDs. Allen didn't have a great day, but they got to catch those when he puts it on them. Yeah, they did drop a couple TDs in this game. Warren held on to a man. Like I said, Warren is a monster. He's going to make a lot of money in the NFL, I think. But, man, he had a great game. That catch in the back of the end zone and then the catch over the Boise State defender, which that was the biggest thing. Boise State didn't have anybody with the athleticism to keep up with Tyler Warren, and they also didn't have anybody big enough to keep up with Tyler Warren. So it was pick your poison with him. Right, you could put a DB on him, but Warren would just body him the entire game. If you put somebody bigger on him, he was going to be able to speed by him. So yeah, all right. Hey, we got David here.
Yeah,
David.
Yeah, what's
good
up,
to
man?
See you, my friend.
Hey, yeah, great to see you, brother. Hey, what did you think of today? I actually I hate to root for scum, but you know what? They played a good game. I will say this.
They did do a good job, yep.
Anybody that thinks Jaden Milroe, I just said this to Mark Rogers, is an NFL starting quarterback, please. Please.
The dude has no ability to read coverages, to get the ball out quickly, diagnose the blitzes. I mean, that he is not going to be anywhere near a starting quarterback in the NFL.
It's bad. It's bad. He can't hit intermediate to short throws. It's all about like deep throws. And I think what they did is they probably did a. I was wondering if they were doubling Ryan Williams the entire game just to prevent him from going deep. And now I will say their D line dominated the game up front. They could not block them, which was also shocking. What? No Grant, no Graham, and I think no Stewart today on their D line. If I'm not mistaken.
I didn't see Stewart out there. I saw Moore, and I think I saw a guy, but I didn't see Stewart, Graham, or Grant.
Yeah, wow. That's amazing. They can't block their D-line without their top three D-linemen out there. And to give
credit to Michigan as well, Wink Martindale was doing a good job with bringing the corners and the DBs on blitzes. They didn't know where those were ever coming from. So
true.
I think Wink just had a really – not just. Obviously, other things happened, but Wink had a really good game play call in that game as well.
He did, but, you know, Milroe has that problem that a lot of running quarterbacks do, man, where they hold the ball too long, you know, and they're trying to make a play. And I think – and even the announcers were saying he was missing open receivers. I think it was just bad. Hey, from an Ohio State perspective, should we be discouraged about how good Jordan Marshall looked?
He did look pretty good. He was breaking a lot of tackles and stuff, but – I also wondered how much of that is just fresh legs, you know, somebody getting in there that is actually looking fresh. I mean, Alabama had some time off, but I don't know. Maybe that's the Buckeye fan in me that just doesn't want to see him next year.
Nobody wants to see an Ohio kid go up there and do well, by the way. Please, no, JR.
No,
I mean,
you do not.
I love James Peoples, though. I think James. I love Peoples' future. I think it's bright. I think he's going to be good. Mm-hmm. The one that – by the way, were you – surprise at all about South Carolina, Illinois?
You know, when we talked about it a little bit, we didn't talk about it for long. I said Illinois had a good chance to win the game. I forget who I picked, but I said it could have gone either way. I wasn't so much surprised that Illinois won. I was surprised how badly South Carolina managed and coached the game. You know, I felt like their players were, I don't know, I might get in trouble for this. I felt like South Carolina's players were better than Illinois players, but I felt like Brett Bielema and his staff put the Illinois players in better position to win the game, play calling, all that kind of stuff. I think that South Carolina just got thoroughly outcoached in that game.
Well, I think to a degree that's true. I mean, I just wondered if Illinois could get to 20 points. Number one, I thought South Carolina was hot coming into that game. I was buying Sellers at quarterback. I thought they had that really top-notch SEC defensive line coming into that game. And I just didn't see a path really for Illinois to score points in that game. And they did better offensively than I thought they would.
Yeah, that McCray, he's had a bit of a hard season. But, man, in that game, he did a really good job. And I didn't see that coming either because Illinois kind of has struggled on the offensive line this season. So for their offensive line to block the defensive line of South Carolina that well, that's a credit to the coaching staff and them and getting them ready for that game.
Yeah, Altmaier always a quarterback too. I didn't think they necessarily had a difference maker at running back, you know, like Chase Brown or somebody like that that they had a couple of years ago. I was just surprised at how they moved the ball a little bit better than I thought. I thought it would maybe be a lower scoring game, you know, maybe first team to 20 wins, so I shouldn't be surprised with that. But I think that's good momentum for their program going into the offseason, Illinois.
Yeah, for sure. I was saying it on Twitter a little bit, you know, just how underrated of a coach Brett Bielema is and how much he's getting fan buy-in and everything right
Yeah.
now. And I mean, if you look at their transfer portal class, they've basically taken the entire defensive line from Wisconsin and now they're just going to supplant them into their defensive line for next year, which I mean, it's good stuff by Brett Bielema. We'll see what he does with the offensive line and stuff like that, but the offensive line looked good. Like I said, in the bowl game. So things are on the up and up for Illinois, and they return a lot of starters. I think Sonny said 18 starters he
Wow.
thinks they're going to return for next
Yeah.
year. So if that's the case, look for Illinois to possibly have another good season. I forget what their schedule is like. I don't remember if it was kind of moderate, easy, or hard, but look for them to get 8 or 9 wins again next season.
Yeah, though they're kind of like on that cusp though at 8 or 9, you know, because
Right.
that probably misses you out of 12 team though if you're at that 8 or 9 barrier. So
Yeah.
yeah, it's going to be interesting. I know that Bert mentioned that they've got a lot of guys coming back. I did want to get to Penn State and get your thoughts on it. I said 31-17 before it started. So, and you know, I thought it would be like kind of like a semi-competitive, kind of like how Clemson in Texas was kind of competitive, you know, certainly more competitive of the early round games, where I thought that basically Boise could hang it in for 3 quarters, but I thought, and kind of this played out, the Penn State offensive line and running game would turn it up in the fourth quarter. Do you think though Penn State let them hang around? I don't know. I didn't get a chance to catch you early, JR, so I didn't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I started off talking about the play calling was my biggest thing. I definitely think that if you watch the game and the way it was played, Penn State had every opportunity and they dominated freely from the start. And then things kind of stalled out. The Drew Aller fumble on the exchange early kind of, you know, took away some of their momentum there. And then I thought Andy Kotelnicki just fell in love with trying to throw the deep passes way too
Yeah.
much. I mean, you saw in this one, Aller was 13 of 25, only 52% completion percentage. He did throw 3 touchdowns, so that's good. But you know, at the end of the day, like, you had 2 running backs who one of them did go for over 100 yards. The other one almost went for over 100 yards, and neither of them carried the ball 20 times. So I look at
Right.
that and I'm like, you definitely should have been running the ball more. Now, Nicholas Singleton did benefit off the big run, which kind of helps his average and stuff like that. But Catron Allen could not be stopped the entire game. This was a game I predicted it would go 27-17, which I was pretty close on that. I predicted it would kind of be like the Indiana game where it feels pretty dominant and Boise kind of hangs around a little bit, but ultimately Penn State pulls away and Boise State gets a score late to make it a little bit closer. They almost did that. They almost made it 31-21 to make it look a little bit closer. But at the end of the day, I didn't anticipate the missed field goals and stuff like that. I felt like Penn State got, I don't want to say lucky there because they did hold them to longer field goals, but I definitely sorry, Terry. I'm not trying to go against you, Terry. But I definitely felt like this was a game where Penn State had it the entire time, and it was like just don't screw it up, right? You know, let Boise State make their mistakes, don't screw it up, and you know, come out on top.
I thought the fumble was kind of the opening to kind of keep Boise in the game. You know, I know that they made a nice play on the Genty fumble, but I thought the miscommunication, you know, at the mesh point with Aller, when I think they were going to go in and make it 21-0, and it was Katie bar the door at that point. I think it really could have gotten ugly.
I think it could have turned into Ohio State, Tennessee if that had happened.
It would have gotten bad because I think they were going in, and Franklin talked about it. And then, you know, 17-7. You know, I think the reason JR he got really happy because Aller did get off to a hot start. I thought the throw to Warren in the end zone for the first touchdown was a dime. I said this to Mark earlier. I thought the throw to Evans for the second touchdown was a really nice throw. I mean, what was he, 10 of 13, I think, to start the game, if I'm not mistaken, Aller? He got off.
10 of 14. team, you're talking Madsen or
No, Aller.
Aller. Let me look up the QB
Get off
progression
to a
really
hot
fast.
start.
Yeah, he there we go. Yeah, he started the game 10 of 13, and then he had 7 incompletions, and then he went 3 for 5 after that.
Yeah, I think he had a couple of drops, though. I think Warren let him down towards the end of the first half. Receiver could have made a really difficult catch in the end zone for the touchdown. I mean, that'd have been a Jeremiah Smith kind of catch, probably. But, and then I think Warren to open the second half definitely should have had that ball. I said this to Mark real quick. Do you think that tight end from Bowling Green should have gotten the Mackey Award over Warren, by the way?
I mentioned that at the beginning. I still think Tyler Warren is the best tight end in college football. I don't know. Maybe I'm biased against the G5 guys, but I don't think you play a hard enough schedule to warrant winning awards. And I was somebody that kind of wanted Ginty over Hunter. But at the end of the day, when you're playing a full G5 schedule like that, I think Notre Dame is different because Notre Dame is playing ACC teams and stuff, which, they're not as good as Big Ten or SEC, but still, they're higher competition and higher caliber of coaches and stuff like that. But I think they got it right giving it to Tyler Warren. I don't think you can win that kind of stuff if you're a G5 guy. You got to be a better competition consistently.
He did have better numbers when they played against each other, though, by the way.
He did. And they did. Who was the SEC team that they gave it to? Because Toledo beat Mississippi State real good, and then Bowling Green beat somebody.
I thought it was Arkansas State they had played. Was that their
Maybe it
bowl
was.
game?
Maybe it. Yeah. I'm saying during the season. I'll look it up really fast.
Okay. Yeah, because I know he blew up in the bowl game too. He was over 200 yards in the bowl
Yeah, he
game.
had a fantastic bowl game.
Yeah, I mean, if you looked at the numbers, it was like 90 some catches for Warren and 1,000 yards. But I mean, he went to like 117 catches and 1,500 yards and that many more touchdowns. But I agree with you, the competition level, you got to go there.
Texas A&M, that's who it was. They only lost by a touchdown to Texas A&M.
Who's that? Was that was
Bowling
Bowling
Green.
Green? Okay,
Yeah.
so
Yeah,
and
he had 8 catches, 145 yards, and a touchdown.
wow, yeah, I mean it was ridiculous. Like every week, kids out of
Yeah.
Canton, by the way.
Oh,
So
cool. I didn't realize that.
yeah, but yeah, I mean I do think that as I look at it going forward with Penn State, I think they're a solid team. I mean we'll have to see about the Carter situation. That's something that moves the needle for them, but. Dare I say, could we see James Franklin in a national championship game?
Listen, we'll have to see how this Notre Dame Georgia game plays out, but I
Yeah.
wouldn't put it past him, man. I mean, he's 2-0 right now. He catches a Notre Dame team that can't throw as well and a backup quarterback for Georgia. If he really looks bad, it could happen. Long as Abdul Carter comes back, I think it could happen.
Right. Yeah, that's big. Yeah, you can't
Yeah.
lose a top five pick. Just wanted to get your thoughts about tomorrow. I heard you guys talk about it. I think it was earlier in the week or last week. Here's the thing. I actually I'm kind of with you. I think this is closer to 50-50. I really do. Couple things. First of all, I look at the matchups. I just think, by the way, both of these teams have the two best sets of skill players in college football when you look at backs and receivers. I would say that Ohio State has the best group of receivers in the country. Would you say Oregon has the second best group of receivers in the country?
Yeah, I was on a show earlier, well, actually this weekend, and I picked through some of the position battles and stuff, and I said I think Ohio State has the better receivers, but it's not to disrespect Oregon at all, because Oregon, if they're not number one, they're number two or number three in the nation.
Right, I tend to agree. I think that if you look at it, plus I think James at running back too is very underrated for them. I think he's a really good player. And
And
Ferguson,
Whittingham too. He's a good backup. He's a good kind of 1-2 punch guy.
yeah, and then Ferguson at the tight end spot could be a key guy. He made some nice catches in the first game, by the way, when I went back and watched it. I do think that a few things. First of all, the big thing that helps me as an Ohio State fan is. First of all, Will Howard's best game of the year was last week against Tennessee. Would you say his second best game of the year has got to be that game at Oregon?
If I'm remembering correctly, I mean, he had some good games in the shoe where he was very efficient, but I think when you look at competition level and what he did and everything, I think you'd have to say second best game was against Oregon.
Yeah, I tend to agree. So I just think when I look at the matchups, the other thing too is I think that that's where I think they can attack Oregon. I think Oregon's back seven of their defense, and I think Penn State showed that a little bit in the Big Ten title game when they were able to run the ball. Aller was able to throw the ball down the field. I think the only thing that could concern me about Oregon's defense is, are you of a view that Ohio State has a harder time, and maybe this just goes back to the last game of the year, of dealing with the interior defensive line than they do the edge rush guys?
Yeah, I think that Ohio State's perimeter blockers have done a good job this season. If you watch Josh Freier against James Pierce Jr., every time they were
Yeah.
one-on-one, he pretty much locked him up, which everybody was really concerned about Josh Freier going into the year at right tackle. But man, he's had silently one of the best seasons on the team, just with what was expected and what he's actually done as well. So I'm with you. I think that the safeties of Oregon are susceptible to deep balls, and I think they can throw some deep balls on them. It's just, does Will Howard have enough time, right? You got Birch and Uiagalelei coming off the edge, but then don't sleep on Caldwell and Harmon. I mean, those two guys coming up the middle and getting pressure, and that's really where Will Howard does struggle, because you saw when Grant and Graham got pressured on Will Howard, he had open receivers and he just wasn't hitting them because he had to tuck that ball down and go. I think when the pressure is coming around him, I think that he feels okay, but when the pressure comes right up the middle like that, he seems to get much more flustered than he does when the pressure comes from the outside.
Well, yeah, I was going to make a comment about Howard. The one quick thing I will say, Harmon did make the big play in the earlier in the game on the strip of Junkins, which I think switched the momentum of that game. But I do think that the guards, Sirevelde and the crew inside, did a little bit better job on him as the game went along in that game. I did notice, but that has always been my concern about Howard is he just makes that one or two, why did you make that throw? That rolling to the sideline, throwing back across the middle of the field, forcing something into double coverage, maybe not seeing the safety late over the middle, break on the ball type throws. And, I mean, that's just my concern. And really, I know people talking about the concussion the last game of the year. That first throw, the pick six, basically they threw in the game. He didn't have a pass rush. It was just a bad throw, And, I even think the second interception, I don't think there was a pass rush on him. The throw in the third quarter.
Yeah, I don't think there was either. I think you're right.
So, yeah, that's my concern. It's just as long as ball security is halfway decent with him, and they do a decent job on their interior, I think Ohio State's going to move the ball and score points. I
I
just
think
do.
they are too. Yeah, I think that Oregon, if you look at like Ohio State offense, Ohio State defense, Oregon offense, Oregon defense, of those four groups, like if you just look at the big picture, I think Oregon's defense is the weakest one, but that's only if you give Will Howard the time and Will Howard makes good decisions. Like I said, you get pass rush through the up the middle, or you put Will Howard in pressure situations and he makes a mistake, it can all be nullified because of that pass rush and what they're able to do. So it comes down a lot to the Ohio State offensive line for me. You got five guards on that offensive line, really six, because you're rotating in Montgomery now. But you got all those guys up there. You should be able to run the ball. It's just, are you going to be able to do it? And when it comes time to go for a third and eight or a third and nine, can you give Howard the time to be able to actually pass the ball and get the first down?
I do think they can do some stuff through scheme to help with that. They can
Oh, for sure.
slide protection. They can maybe max protect. They can do rollouts, longer drop backs. There are things they can do to kind of mitigate the pass rush a little bit, get the ball out quicker, And I think that Chip's really got to be in his bag tomorrow too. To the other side of the ball, which I think is the key to the game, JR. I think of these two things, what are you more confident in? Ohio State can get a pass rush, or Ohio State can limit big plays.
Oh, I think I'm probably more confident in. I think I'm probably more confident in Ohio State limiting big plays, because I think they're more ready for it in this one. I think they're probably going to make Oregon go down the field more methodically this time.
That's exactly where I'm at. That's exactly because here's the thing. I know JTT and Sawyer played their best two games as like a unit last week, but and I listened to some Tennessee podcasts before that game. What was not talked about enough was how bad their offensive line was. I mean, because their fans, their people really had concerns about their offensive tackles actually going into that game, and they looked flat-footed. I mean, there was a play where Sawyer just went around the one tackle, and he looked like he was in mud. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I know they've been playing better football, but I just don't know if Ohio State can get a consistent pass rush, and Knowles only rushed four the last time, unless they blitz. Now, yeah. I do think that maybe there's a few plays where Sonny or Simon or maybe Caleb Downs coming on a safety blitz could work. But I'm kind of with you. I think if they just limit big plays, play good 20-20 defense, maybe force them to kick a couple field goals, that is, I think, their best hope defensively.
Yeah, yeah. I predicted the score would be 24-22. I think that Ohio State's defense is going to show up in this one. I think that okay. Oregon could move the ball into the red zone, but I think Ohio State's just had a really good red zone defense this year, and I think that the aggression of Dan Lanning, you could see, Oregon go like 3-for-5 or 2-for-4 or something like that in the red zone this game because of the aggression of Dan Lanning trying to go for it on fourth down and just how many times Ohio State's defense has been able to stop teams on fourth down. I mean, it's been nearly week after week here ever since Oregon last time. So, I mean, they just had a really good red zone defense, and I think that one will continue. But for me, it just, like you said, it comes down to the offense. Can they move the ball down the field with that offensive line? Are they going to be able to run it? Stuff like that. Because Ohio State's defense, I think they're going to be plenty motivated. I think they got a good game plan probably for this one. It's just going to come down to the offense and if they're going to be able to score enough.
Right. Yeah. I think that they can hold them to a couple field goals. I had 35-27. I'm between like 35-27, 35-30 kind of as my final prediction for this week.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that got it up in the 30s.
Yeah, you have a little lower scoring.
I don't know if I see Ohio State's offense or Ohio State's defense allowing that much again. Now, tempo could change it. I had somebody bring that up to me on Twitter today. They said, well, it seems like 20 points would be kind of low for two teams running tempo, which Ohio State did run tempo more against Tennessee. So if they start to do that again, we'll see. I didn't really account for the tempo, but we'll see. It's going to be a really good game.
Yeah, the thing with Day, though, and this is why I think he's better in playoff games, JR, and he kind of tipped his hand on this. He basically, I don't know if you remember this, he was asked before the Georgia game a couple years ago. He basically said, going into these playoff games, we know we're going to have to score north of 40 points. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he comes out with an aggressive game plan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I think honestly, I'm sorry. I didn't mean,
no, go ahead. No, absolutely.
I think honestly, Day really got it in his head about the long season and the injuries and stuff like that. Cause you think about it, they really have been hampered by injuries the past few years when Day's been there, Jackson Smith, the Jigba, Trevion Henderson and everything he's gone through, everything like that. You're never going to stop injuries. I mean, heck, you got two offensive line injuries this year that have been huge, but
right.
I think Day really got it in his head of like, let's play less plays. Let's slow the game down. That way we're not going to get as many guys injured and stuff like that. And now I really do feel like, with it being the playoffs, he's kind of like, all right, let's let loose a little bit more. Let's really go for it. And let's let our guys play and really play more into what is better for us to win. I don't know how I feel about it. I kind of don't really like it, but at the same time, I get it. You want to be full strength. So it's one of those things where it's like, I see it, but I don't really like it.
Well, you know what though, Jay, I think he just likes playing against like free flowing offensive teams like Oregon too. Because I think he goes in like, oh, okay, we're playing like this free-flowing offensive team that scores a lot of points. We got to score a lot of points. So let's just be aggressive, throw caution to the wind. And I think when he plays against scum, there's this tightness. You know why? Because he feels, well, we only have to score a certain amount of points maybe to win this game. Just don't throw an interception and let's play real tight.
Yeah.
I think
he plays real tight against Michigan.
Yeah, because I actually – this is where I defended somebody. I actually do think he gets it. I just think he coaches tight.
Yeah. He just coaches different. He gets it. He gets, you don't lose that game. I mean, you heard it. I assume you heard him in that interview where it's like it's the second worst thing that's ever happened to him in his life behind losing his father, which like that kind of breaks my heart to hear. But at the same time, I'm like, rough. The guy gets it. The guy gets you can't lose that game. But, he's just – he gets far too – I don't even say it's conservative. He gets far too tight, which you live the Cooper years more than I do.
Oh, yeah.
I hear a lot of people say, like, it's not even so much Cooper. It's just tight. Like, he's not so much like Cooper where he doesn't get it. He's just tight in those games.
Right, yeah, and it's just like the way he coaches, and that's why I think it's more now that he's in the playoff and he feels he's got to score points, he's willing to let Chip or, you know, unleash this offense a little bit more.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
That's what gives me encouragement. Hey, any thoughts about the other two games tomorrow? I mean, I think I know they're not Big Ten related, but I think Texas pulls away in that game.
Yeah, we talked about the Texas one. Boy, did I get a whole lot of SEC people mad at me for talking about the Texas Arizona State game, if you want to go look through the comments.
Yeah.
Mad for their, I tell you, Texas fans are super confident in their team, man. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't be as confident in my team if they lost to Georgia twice. But anyway, I think Texas should win that game if Quinn Ewers plays like he's supposed to. I don't think Arizona State has a good enough pass rush to be able to really affect him. They, you know, obviously they're going to be able to run the ball well with Scataboo and stuff. But I mean, Texas should dominate the trenches in this game, offensive and defense. And when they're able to do that, they should pull ahead and win that one. And then Notre Dame and Georgia, I tell you, it's a coin flip to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Riley Mills gone for Notre Dame, Carson Beck gone for Georgia. I mean, I don't really think Carson Beck was playing super well this year, obviously, but Gunnar Stockton, from what I saw from him, he doesn't look much better, which I do think Carson Beck gets a little bit of unwarranted hate sometimes because they just don't have any receivers, man.
No.
They have no perimeter talent on that Georgia.
The loss of McConkey and Beck from last year, I think, has really showed up for
me. Bowers, too.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm sorry, McConkey and Bowers. Yeah, pardon me. McConkey and Bowers because, well, look at what they're doing in the NFL right now, by the way. Both are having really good years, by the way. So, I think that, I mean, they were a lot of his production. Remember, they kind of got hurt towards the end of last year, and I think that cost Georgia a little bit. I think the thing with Texas is I think their front seven can contain Scataboo. I think I'm with you. As long as Quinn Ewers just doesn't throw the ball to the other team, Texas should win this game by a couple scores at least.
Which he shouldn't. I mean, like I said, there should not be large amount of pressure on him in this game. He should be able to run a Steve Sarkisian offense that schemes guys open and knows where they're going to be and just deliver the ball to him. But for whatever reason, man.
He's regressed, I think, though.
Yeah. You hear he's offered $6 million?
I'm running back memories from like 2021 JR when he was here and you know everybody was like, he's taking the money and running. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that was the feeling, you know. But, Georgia and Notre Dame, I just quick comment on that. To me, the term rock fight never applied to a football game better than it applies to that football game.
Yeah. It does feel like it.
I mean, I just think that game could set back the passing game and offensive football like back years, by the way.
It really could.
I think Notre Dame would be right just real quick to emulate some of what Georgia Tech did. You know,
that's the thing. I mean, if Riley Leonard reminds me a lot of Haynes King, actually, mm-hmm. I mean, Haynes King's probably reminds me more of Riley Leonard, but I mean, they're both tough quarterbacks who are mm-hmm. going to run the ball and stick their nose in there. I think, honestly, the biggest concern for Notre Dame in this one is if Riley Leonard starts doing that, who was it against? He did that last year at Duke and he got hurt in the game, and it basically was the thing that lost him the game because they beat Clemson early on. Was it Florida State where he was doing that in the game and then they basically lost because he got hurt in the third quarter and they just had no other option of anything to do to move the ball. Obviously don't want Riley Leonard to get hurt. I never want to see injury, but
sure,
you got to be careful with him because he really does throw caution to the wind, and he could get himself hurt and knocked out of the game.
I just think that maybe the difference could be them running him a little bit and them getting a little bit more out of the running game than Georgia gets out of their running game, because I just don't see either of these teams getting a lot out of the passing game.
I agree. And honestly, like, Notre Dame has a good running game. Georgia doesn't have a great running game. I mean, it's been serviceable this year, but it's not been great.
Yeah, that's like 16-13, 17-16, like you guys are talking about. Yeah. I think it will be. I mean, are we to believe that maybe the three best teams this year are in our conference?
I think I tweeted it out. I think it was last week. To me, the national champion is going to be one of four teams: Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, Notre Dame. I
Wow.
honestly think that.
We are the North,
I
huh?
know, right? It's never been a better year for Northern football.
I mean, well, you know what though? To your credit, JR, weren't you telling when I was like Buckeye talk, you're talking about how NIL and everything in the portal has just it's closed the gap.
Yeah.
It's
And
cool.
I don't talk about it a lot because there's not a whole lot of proof there for it, but I think everybody agrees SEC was paying players, right?
Oh,
And
sure.
now and that's kind of hard, kind of how they were able to get the best
They know how to
players
make
down there in the
moonshine down
SEC,
there. Yeah,
right?
they know
Exactly.
how it's done.
Now that it's everywhere, now that everybody can pay them and stuff like that, I mean, it, kind of conspiracy theory here for me, but I think that's part of the reason why Nick Saban left Alabama, because it's like teams players are going to him now, like, hey, pay me because this other team can pay me. Before and at, before that, it was like, well, I could just pay him and nobody else was trying to pay him, but now other people are trying to pay him. I got to get out of college football.
I will say this though. I will say this though, JR. They will eventually need a structure. They
Yeah,
will eventually
they
need
will.
some kind of a structure here. It can't be a free for all for forever. Let's be fair about it. Like, I mean, I'm all for compensation, but everybody we compensate in this world, or everybody that's works for somebody, there's still some kind of a structure.
Right.
Now, whether they become employees, you know, whatever, who knows? But it's got to be coming.
Yeah, I think it'll happen once the Big Ten and the SEC does this merger thing that's eventually coming. Whether it happens this offseason or the next offseason, I think you'll probably see contracts and things like that. And you could possibly see being able to kind of pick players from like the Big 12 and the ACC and the Group of Five, similar
Right.
to how we're doing now. But I think you'll have contracts with recruits here in the next few years. And I think that'll make it a whole lot easier because you won't have to worry about J.J. Smith leaving Ohio State. Not that I am worried about it, but you know,
Right.
that would be a big concern for Ohio State fans. You wouldn't have to worry about that because you got them locked in contract for 2 or 3 years, right?
Right. I mean, well, 'cause, I mean, hey, if we're gonna be the NFL junior, you're gonna have to follow some of the, you know,
Yeah,
but. Right.
exactly.
Hey, you doing the show this week, man? You guys on this week, or what you guys' schedule?
For here, we'll probably do a show on Sunday. I was gonna do a basketball show Thursday, but there's so many basketball games Thursday. So if Zach wants to do a show or something Saturday night, we might try, but probably won't have a show again until Sunday night.
Okay. Well, I'll be sure to tune in, my friend. Thanks again for
Yeah.
having me.
If we do something, we'll post it on Twitter or here on YouTube, so you'll see the post. So
Okay. Well,
we'll
I'll be
let you
looking
know.
for it, man.
All right. Appreciate it,
Thanks,
David.
JR.
Have a
Thanks.
good one.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for calling in, David. Yeah, I'm probably gonna go through some of you guys' comments and then get out of here. I think you guys were having some good discussion in the chat, so let me see what you guys were talking about here. Terry, you guys were talking about the Washington QB. Yeah, Damon Williams played today. To my knowledge, it was just they're getting him ready and Rodgers sat. I don't think Rodgers was injured or anything like that. I think he just kind of sat and they let the newbie get in there. So I think it was kind of the same thing that happened against Oregon where Damon Williams started. And it's just kind of like this is the future. This is who we need to get reps to. So John, do you think Ewers is worried that Arch Manning is taking his job? Makes you wonder why he's playing so bad. I know a couple guys that have gone to college and played, and I've talked to them about a few of these situations. And there are some guys who get into college football, and they were just the best thing ever where they came from, right? Their high school, their state, whatever, they were just the best thing ever. So it doesn't even comprehend in their mind that somebody else could be as good as them. And when that happens, sometimes you do get in your head a little bit more. Now, I'm not saying that's the case with Quinn Ewers, but it wouldn't surprise me if, maybe Quinn Ewers in practice started seeing Arch Manning play a little bit better than him and makes him second guess, makes him press a little bit more. I mean, if you don't have confidence, I mean, we talked about it a lot with Indiana football, and I'm not trying to bring up Indiana again because I know there's some people that don't like when I bring them up, but we could talk about Indiana if we wanted to. That's all I'm going to say. But anyway, Indiana had a lot of confidence this year, and that was huge for them to be able to pull off what they were able to pull off and win as many games as they were able to win. A guy like Quinn Ewers, he has all the talent. You've seen the arm talent. You've seen the arm strength. Like, he has it all. But if he doesn't have the confidence, he doesn't play up to that talent. So I don't know for sure, but I think you're onto something there, John, where if he just didn't have the confidence because he's constantly looking over his shoulder of like, oh, what's Arch Manning doing? What's Arch Manning doing? That could definitely impact his play. I think it could for sure. So Terry says, I think Georgia will beat them by 2 scores. Terry, if I'm being honest, I don't even know if Georgia gets 2 touchdowns in this game. 2 scores, maybe 2 field goals. I'm with David, guys. I think this is just going to be a rock fight. Did you guys remember when Alabama and LSU, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago when they played? Man, I think it was longer ago than that. And it was 9-6 in that game. I would not be surprised at all if this Notre Dame-Georgia game turns into like a 13-6, a 13-9 game or something like that. Jeremiah Love breaks off one big touchdown run or something. Like, it would not surprise me at all if this is just a rock fight, super low-scoring game, and Georgia doesn't even get a touchdown. They're just only field goals or something like that. I don't know. It's crazy. Penn State guy. The Washington quarterback. He said, actually, reading more, don't think Rodgers was hurt. They rotated QBs to end the year and just went with Damon Williams in the bowl while Rodgers was there if needed. Yeah, they did a good job of putting Damon Williams in this season. I kind of didn't like it to begin the year because I thought, you know, you're kind of getting Will Rogers out of rhythm, but I kind of grew into it more as the year went on. I feel he did some nice things against Michigan in that game that they were able to win. That was kind of when I started turning on a little bit and saying, oh, maybe this is a good idea. But yeah, it was not Will Rogers being hurt, if I recall correctly. It sounds like Penn State guy was reading the same thing. So thanks, Penn State guy, for putting that in there. Let's see. John says Nick Saban retiring got Julian Saban to OSU. Yeah, did you guys hear about Kalen DeBoer? He apparently, now this is just a rumor. Apparently, when Kalen DeBoer got there, he thought Julian Saban was just some walk-on quarterback. He didn't realize who Julian Saban was. So when they set up a meeting for Julian Saban, the future of the program, to meet with Kalen DeBoer, he just kind of shrugged him off and didn't really pay attention to who he was or anything. Like, he thought Jalen Milroe's the guy, and I don't need to give this guy even a second thought. And that was kind of what led to Julian Saban wanting to leave Bama. And it sounded like Ohio State was kind of a second choice behind Bama, so that's kind of why he went there. And also, Bill O'Brien was still there. If you guys remember that whole saga, they hired Bill O'Brien to be the offensive coordinator who was at Bama when Saban was recruited. And then, of course, he leaves to go to Boston College and they bring Chip Kelly in. But yeah, that was that whole thing was a mess. Whole thing was a mess. Let's see. Penn State guy says, JR, no confidence in Gunnar Stockton. I mean, I never completely count out a backup quarterback because we saw what happened with Cardale Jones at Ohio State. So I should never say never, but just from what I've seen this season, it doesn't give me a whole lot of confidence in Gunnar Stockton. And also too, like, Kirby Smart is not an offensively innovative guy, right? At least when that happened, Urban Meyer was a pretty offensively innovative guy. Kirby's not really like that. Kirby, you know, he's really much more hands-on with the defense. I think if you had a more offensive guy leading it for Georgia, I might feel a little bit more confident. But I mean, Carson Beck just looks so bad this season. They have no talent on the outside. And if they had a better running game, I might feel better, but they just don't have a great running game. What's the guy's name? Terry Frazier or something? I don't know. That's probably incorrect. But yeah. Archie says, awesome show. Thanks, Archie. Appreciate it. We're just trying to put something out there. Normally, we have a show on Tuesday nights, but I didn't want to go live during the Penn State game because I figured all of you guys would want to be watching that, and I didn't want to be talking about transfer portal and all this stuff. So I was like, you know what? I'll do the whole thing with seeing the game, let the national shows do their thing, and then I'll come on here and talk about it all and everything. So hopefully the people that had to go will come back and listen. But I just appreciate you all being here because I did really, really want to get on here because since we don't normally miss on a Tuesday, I think you guys really enjoy the Tuesday shows. So Penn State guy says, Gunnar can run well, though. Gives defenses another issue to worry about. But who knows? Small sample size. That's true. That's true. He did run a little bit. I did forget about that. So who knows? Maybe he'll be able to get some yardage with his legs and kind of pick up the first down and stuff. I just don't think he's like a Riley Leonard or anything like that with moving the ball with his legs. But who knows? Could be wrong. This is one of the reasons why I'm going to be locked in with that Georgia-Notre Dame game, just because there are so many unknowns. And on the other side, too, like, you know, we're talking here about Gunnar Stockton a lot. Riley Mills for Notre Dame, losing him, that's huge. He was a big part of that defense. So losing him off the defensive line, what Notre Dame's going to do there. We talked about Penn State losing Abdul Carter and what that's going to look like. Riley Mills is a really big loss for a really big loss for Notre Dame. So we'll see what they're able to do without him. Terry says, okay, let's talk about Indiana now. Here's my thing, guys. Alabama and South Carolina got stomped, right? I mean, it was a one-score game between Michigan and Alabama, but I mean, Alabama, they showed very little life in that game. Jalen Milroe, not very good. Yeah. John, let's talk about Fernando Mendoza. He's very, very good. I shouldn't say very, very. He's good. I think Kirk Cinetti will have fun with him, and I think that he'll be well improved with Kirk Cinetti, and that'll be a good thing for Indiana. But I'm just saying, like, you know, we can say, like, Indiana didn't deserve to be in it. If you want to say that, okay. I disagree, but okay. But my other question is, it's kind of like the whole coaching conversation, right? You can say, oh, I don't want this guy to be my coach anymore. Okay, maybe I disagree, but I'll let you say that. Who else, though, right? Who else should have been in over Indiana? I know bowl games aren't exactly what it is, but, like, I don't know. Alabama looked pretty bad against Michigan, and Michigan was missing most of their star players, if not all of their star players, in that game. Miami, without Cam Ward in that game, looked pretty bad against Iowa State. And that defense is just awful. I mean, that defense for Miami is just awful. They could have kept it close with any team with Cam Ward, but still, I don't think that team really deserved to be in there. And then South Carolina today. I mean, Shane Beamer, what a doofus. I mean, Brett Bielema, I was so glad to see him kind of give him what he gave him. But yeah, so okay, you want to talk portal, Terry? So Indiana portal, I do think they need to go out and get some more offensive linemen. I think that was kind of what you saw to be the biggest issue against some of these better teams. Penn State guy, oh great, someone had to bring up my favorite team, Indy. I hear you, Penn State guy. But I mean, let me know though, Penn State guy, like, you know, because you've been with somebody that said we kind of overhyped him a little bit. Like, who would you have put in over Indiana in the playoffs, right? I mean, I don't think Alabama or Miami or South Carolina really looked better. We'll see what happens with Ole Miss. But, like, I don't know. Who would you put in? I'm asking. I'm not making an argument to say. I'm asking you what you think. So, but, yeah, portal so far for Indiana. I like the Roman Hemby addition. Really like Fernando Mendoza. I think they're getting some good underrated players. They're bringing the guy back from Ole Miss who was at Indiana before at safety. They're bringing him back. I like that. I like what Kirkson is doing. He's going out and getting more guys, more guys with experience and kind of doing that stuff again. Do I think next year will be another 11-1 year? No, probably not. I think the schedule is a little too difficult for that, but I also picked Indiana to be one of the last place teams in the conference this year, so who knows? Can you really pick Indiana? Who knows? We'll just have to see what Kirk Cinetti does with them. Kirk Cinetti's a good coach, I think. A little arrogant, but he's a good coach. We'll see what he can do next year. Like I said, I really would have liked to see him get an offensive lineman or two, because I really think that was where you saw the biggest issues against Notre Dame and Ohio State and against Michigan, which Michigan, it makes sense. That defensive line, really, really good. But I would be interested to see Indiana go out and at least get some power force, like Xavier Gray from Liberty. I don't know how many of you guys follow transfer portal that closely. This guy's like 6'9", 340 pounds. You could have got him a tackle, you know? Like, you could have got him. You could have went out and got the other Liberty guy. Like, there were guys who did really well in the G5 that I think could have been good additions to the offensive line for Indiana. So, I don't know. Maybe Maybe Kirksen anything's just develop the guys. Maybe. I don't know. But that would just be my thought. That would kind of be my thing is like, just could you got some more in offensive line? So, John, at least we're not talking Indiana basketball. Yeah, I know you lament that topic. You lament that topic. So, Penn State guy. Record aside, I think Ole Miss or Bama would have been a better shot at Notre Dame. Bama in the playoffs doesn't have opt outs like they did versus Michigan. Did they have opt outs? I know they didn't have Justice Haynes, but did they have very many opt outs? And like I said, like Michigan had a ton of opt outs too. You know, I mean, basically their entire team. So that was my thing. Like, I would have probably felt differently about it if Michigan had their entire team playing and Alabama had more opt outs. But I mean, Michigan was the team that had the worst record and had more opt outs. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think some of this stuff at the end of the day just kind of comes down to name recognition with Bama. And then, like I said, we'll see what Ole Miss does. Maybe Ole Miss, you know, does really well against Duke. We'll see. But I appreciate the answer, Penn State guy. Oh, yes, you go. He says, good night. Happy New Year, JR in chat. Happy New Year, Penn State guy. So, Terry said, yeah, I wanted the guy you guys got from Minnesota. Oh, yeah, Philip Daniels, the right tackle. The redshirt freshman. I think he's gonna be a redshirt sophomore next year. Yeah, unfortunately, Terry, I don't think anybody else was getting him. I think there was a little bit of tampering going on in that one, which, you know, it is what it is. I lament that it happens in college football because I don't really like it, but you know, at the same time, I'm also not naive enough to believe that it doesn't happen. So, you know, it's one of those things, and if other teams are gonna do it, you know, you're doing whatever you can to try and keep it up there. So who knows though? Those are just all rumors. I try to pay attention to the rumors because I try to do videos and stuff like that on them for you guys. But oh boy. Well, I'm starting to yawn and people are saying goodnight, getting out of the chat. So yeah, Terry says everyone does. Yep, everybody does it. I'm gonna go ahead and end the show here, guys. Hour and 11 minutes. I didn't expect to go this long, but David had some good conversation. So really appreciate you guys showing up and talking about the Penn State game with me and the other stuff from the bowl games as well. Looking forward to the playoff games tomorrow, and I'm hoping for Ohio State win. We'll see. If you guys want to hear me talk about the game, obviously it'll be much more Ohio State centric, but Voice of College Football, Ohio State, I'll do a post game with Mike over there if you guys want to hear that. So I won't be able to do anything tomorrow night, but we'll have that. So John says Indiana needs offensive linemen badly. Losing your center on top of needing guards is going to be huge. Yeah, it's true. You need some guys. I don't know. Maybe they feel like they got some guys behind them, but yeah, you're gonna need some guys. So Terry says good night. Good night, Terry. Good night, everybody else. Thanks so much for watching and listening, everybody. Really appreciate it. We will be back at least on Sunday night. We'll see. Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time, we'll be back. If Zach comes back and wants to do a show or something like that, we might do something before then. But we'll let you guys know. Follow us on Twitter, the Big Ten Huddle. Follow us here. Subscribe on YouTube, and we'll post and let you guys know if we have anything planned. So thanks so much, everybody. Appreciate it. Have a good one.